Good afternoon. If you'll turn to Judges chapter 4, verses 1 and 5, I'll start off there. And it says, "When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who resigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth Hagam. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. Now Deborah, prophetess, the wife of Lebedeth, was judging Israel at that time. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment." So what do we know about Deborah? Deborah, she was a judge. And what were judges like in the Old Testament? Being a judge, there was no income attached to their title. They bore no external marks of dignity. And basically, they were a judge not for fame. Not only was she a judge, but she was also a prophetess. And with what a prophetess is it's also the same as a prophet, which is proclaiming the word of God. Each one of us in this room can relate to Deborah in one way or another. Some of us in here are moms or grandmothers, aunts. And how many of you know being as such doesn't come with fortune and fame? Just as Deborah being a judge, it didn't come with fortune and fame. We don't get paid the big bucks to wipe noses, to change diapers. We don't get paid the big bucks to doctor up wounds or give advice. You know, maybe we should go into psychology, but, and we don't get paid, for our daughters or granddaughters. We don't get paid to pay for their weddings, things like that. Also, if we've accepted Christ as our Savior, each and every one of us has been called to proclaim the Word of God, to proclaim the good news, and to share that with others, just as Deborah did. And we all know that being a Christian in today's society, it doesn't make us famous, unlike the YouTubers out there. But during the time that Deborah was a judge, Israel, as we read, Israel did evil on the sight of the Lord. So the Lord, being good and just and a just God as he is, gave them over to their ways and allowed them to be sold to a wicked ruler. And that, during that time, they cried out to God. They cried out to him for deliverance. And so he brought them Deborah, and she was a righteous judge. We know that Israel is a picture of God's bride. And who are we? We are God's bride, right? Amen. And each of one of us can relate to Deborah, but we also are, not only are we pictured as Deborah, but we're also pictured as Israel. Because a lot of times in our walk, with the Lord, sometimes we have ups and sometimes we have downs. And sometimes we're crying out to the Lord for deliverance. We're like, Lord, why are we going through this struggle? But then there's those times that we're on the mountaintops and we have those victories. But in Israel's wickedness, God still saw it fit to deliver them. So he brought Deborah to them. And each of one of us has a call on our lives. Each and every one of you has a call in your life, which comes at a cost. But it is so worth it in the end. I was asked to speak today to the mothers, especially the working mothers out there, since I'm a working mother myself. How many of you know being a mother, it's within itself is a full-time job? And it requires work around the clock, right? Then, add on to that, you have a full-time job. So that's an additional 40 hours on top of your family, which is around the clock. So with that being said, that's a lot of hours and a lot of time being spent everywhere else. Come Saturday, I don't know about you, but I feel dead to the world. All of my time has been sucked dry, eaten up, swept away, and thrown in the trash, whether it was from work, helping kids with homework, cooking, cleaning, planning for a family trip, taking care of the dog, paying bills, shopping. Oh, wait, can't forget TV. We got to throw the TV in there. I like to watch Hawaii Five-O, but anyways. So, I got to catch a few episodes of that. So, At least that's how I feel at times. My time is just spent. It's just insane. Come nighttime, I'm like dead. I'm like, okay, so have I read my Bible? Have I prayed? It just seems like there's no time for anything else. And it also seems like there might be not time for a Bible study. There's no time for personal walks with the Lord. There's no time for personal talks with Him as well. And did I mention my husband? Oh, yeah. There might be some time to give him a peck or two in there. But what about my children? There's no energy to read with them. There's no time to sit and do homework with them. And if I did have the time, I would get too frustrated with them and I would show my ugly side. I don't want them to see that. And there's no time to just joke and be a mother and to just nurture and care for them. My time is just being spent doing things that I think they're building up my family, when in all actuality, it's not. Is that the call in your life? Are you being stretched too thin? Can you relate to any of those things that I just said? In Judges chapter 4, verses 6, 8, and 9, it says, "Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinadab, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, 'Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor?'" And in that, actually, that part where she had called for Barak and had asked him, and when it says, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded?" That, to me, is saying that he actually has been told, because it's not mentioned in here that the Lord had spoken to her. She's asking him a question. Has not? So she, as we have heard throughout the messages today, she was in a place of authority. She was actually able to hear from the Lord, but she was able to speak and ask Barak, like, "Hey, what's up? Why aren't you doing what you're supposed to be doing?" Maybe he was probably being cowardly and not stepping up into his role. But she spoke the mind of Christ. She was a prophetess. And she was able to remind him of that, of what God had said. And then in verse 8 it says, "And Barak said to her, 'If you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go.' So she said, 'I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman.'" So she's the one who's going to get the honor, because she's the one who listened to the Lord and followed through. The call Deborah had on her life was one of virtue, vision, passion, and drive. She wasn't a woman of complacency. She wasn't a woman of compromise. She wasn't a woman of passivity. Instead, Deborah, she was a woman of noble character. She was held with high regard because the people of Israel, they went up to her seeking advice. She was looked to for advice, and she led an army. And each and every one of you here today have the same call on your life. God is calling each and every one of you to a deeper walk with Him, to help lead your family into battle. See, Deborah, she led that battle, or that army into battle. But we, each and every one of us, we have family members who aren't saved. We have children, we have grandchildren, we have loved ones, we have friends, we have neighbors that we need to, as it's been said, we need to be interceding for. Each and every one of us has that call in our life as well, to be interceding for our family and our loved ones. God, He is trying to prepare us and our families for the things to come. It's only getting worse out there. Being a Christian is, now we're called bigots, and it's disheartening at what is going on in the world with our children, with what they see in school, what they encounter, not only them, but ourselves as well. Even in the workplace, we get judged because maybe we're reading our Bible, or we mention God's name. Instead of taking it in vain, they look and laugh at us and like, "Wait, what?" People are very cruel. But you guys have to rise up and take a stand. We're called to take up a stand and rise up for our families and for our friends and for our loved ones, for our children. We need to rise up to the call. It's time to put passivity behind you. It's time to put complacency behind you. It's time to put compromise behind you. It's time to put laziness behind and rise up to the call of Deborah. We need to be interceding for our families and for our children. It's not a time to just to continue to watch TV shows with mindless, mundane things and letting the things of the world consume us and continue to drift us away. You might say, well, I have a husband and he leads our house. Yes, he does, but you also have a voice. It's the two of you who stand together interceding for your family, for your children. It's the two of you going before the throne of God, leading your family. It's not just him. That's not the picture that Christ has for us. That's not the way he created it. You are a child of God, and you are a prophetess, each and every one of you. We have been given that call to proclaim God's word and to speak into our children's lives, into our husband's lives, into our neighbors' lives. Each and every one of us has. It is your call to raise your children in the ways of the Lord just as much as it's your husband's. Deborah, she was on her face before the Lord seeking him daily for Israel. Not only was she giving them advice and helping them make decisions, but she had to be on her face before the Lord asking for direction and for guidance for these people, right? And that's our call that we have on us. Us women are called to speak into our husbands' lives, our children's, our grandchildren's lives. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 and 7, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." It is very important for us mothers, whether we're working or we're stay-at-home moms or our children have left the nest, whatever it may be, it is our job to be teaching them. It is our job, it is our responsibility, it is our call to be raising them up in the way they should go. Because they are the next generation. They are the ones who are going to be teaching your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren. And we need a voice in this world. There are so many lost souls out there who need to be reached and who need to be touched. And so this is what the Word of God says, that you shall teach them diligently. Teach your children diligently. You shall talk to them when they sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. It's not just a Sunday thing. It's not just maybe a family Bible study day. When you have a relationship with the Lord, it's a constant thing. You are constantly worshiping him. You're constantly talking and praying to him. That's how it needs to be in your home when you're with your children. You need to be praying over them whether they know you're praying over them or not. It's important for us to be instilling that into our children's lives. Us women, I would like to think that we are Wonder Woman. We do it all. But most importantly, we have to first make sure we are spending time with our first love, with the Lord. That's the only way that we are going to be able to stand in these end times that are rapidly approaching. Because if we forget our first love, how are we going to love our children? How are we going to teach them? How are we going to speak into their lives if we're not able to stand, if we don't know who he is? We have to be firm in our foundation. We have to know without a doubt who we are in Christ. We have to know without a doubt that he is our first love before our husbands. And in that, we need to be on our faces crying out to the Lord for our families. In this day and age, the wickedness is only going to get worse. And it's a matter of life and death. It's hard to sometimes picture it that way or think about it that way when you're going through life, through the mundane things of like, okay, now I got to take the kids to school, pick them up, we got to do schoolwork, got to make dinner. You know, it's the same routine over and over. So I want you to picture someone who you really love and who is close to you. Maybe it's a grandchild, a spouse, a niece, a nephew, a sister. Now someone, they take them captive. Someone comes into your house and takes them captive and is holding a knife to their throat and they're threatening to kill them. What are you going to do? Are you just going to sit there and be like, beg and plead for them? Please don't take them. Please, please, please. No, you're going to yell on the top of your lungs, don't kill them! That's what we need to be doing. It's serious. You need to be intercessing for your children. You need to be praying for them. Because it's a matter of life and death right now. If you're not praying for them, Satan is going to steal them and take them from you. You don't want that. I want to be in heaven, rejoicing with them. Just as Linda is going to be in heaven, rejoicing with Deanie, with her sister. Amen. We don't want to be without them. It is serious. This is a matter of life and death. All the money that we earn is in vain. It won't stand. The devil will be able to come in right away. He's right now lurking, seeking whom he may devour. He's out there. He's going to steal your children. He's going to try and break up your family. He's going to try and rip your marriage apart. Yes. You don't understand, because he is out there. Yes, God is greater, but if you don't have that foundation, if you don't know who your first love is, it will all be gone. You might as well just kiss it goodbye. It's a daily sacrifice. It's a daily walk with the Lord, and it's a daily crying out to God for your family.
Yes.
Daily. I can't stress it enough. That is the call. We need to be crying out to God for our spouses. We need to be crying out to God for our children, for our grandchildren. They are faced with so much filth in this world. It's horrible. It's disgusting. It's sickening just thinking about it. But if our feet are not firm on Christ and who we are in Christ, they won't be able to stand either, because they're looking to you as their example of what a Christian woman is, of what Wonder Woman is, okay? You need to be sure that your time is not eaten up with worthless TV shows, with making money. You don't want your family to suffer because you were so consumed with just making money. The things that you hold priority now will ultimately one day all be tested. Was your house... your house built on a strong foundation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15, it says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." And in Psalm, the main verse that I actually had for today, which had been spoken to me several months back, was in Psalm 127, verse 1. It says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." So unless if you were before the Lord seeking him, reading his word, all of your works that you're doing now are in vain. All of the money that you earn, it's in vain. It's not going to stand. It's wood, hay, and stubble. When we stand before the Lord, it's all going to just burn up. We want those precious jewels. We want a crown. We want gold. We want silver. And that comes from spending time in the Word. Spending time with your first love.